I was there standing next to Alex. You didn't know what I was doing. I was actually a great assistant. I was the number one assistant in Grace Life. Man, Alex is just incredible with his hands. He's incredible with whatever he touches, man. And I salute you. I learned so much from you just in that short space of time. And that's what community is about. It's actually not about fixing anything or picking up anything. It's about creating bonds that are so cool, working together, getting to know each other, and at the same time, cleaning up together. Man, it's so good. I just love being a part of Grace Life Church. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just love my community. I love all you are. Man, you are a part of me, and I just love you guys. I love when we get together like this and just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on the topic of love, man, I just love my family, my lovely brothers. When I think of them growing up as little children, you know. When a child is small, let's say toddler, we'll give it a toddler, right? When a toddler is small, he's got a habit of doing things what his heart wants to do. He feels that it's the right thing to do. It's like what is it with toddlers and cupboards? I have no idea what is a cupboard. It just got a handle in. But you'll find a toddler just gravitating to that cupboard and open it. I'm like, no, there's glass things and they come out of there. And then as soon as you try and change his path, they say, come this side. There's a ball here. I mean, a ball is so exciting. There's a car that moves. It's exciting. That baby will look at you. As soon as you walk away, he'll turn and go back to the cupboard. I'm like, why? It's like there's something in a child that you just can't change. The heart seems to always want to do its own thing. But without direction, where can you point him? He's just going on his heart, right? Sometimes that human beings, our rebellion is very, very, very subtle. Very, very subtle rebellion. Following the heart. I'm going to use me as an example, right? And what I have at the moment. Like, I've got a vehicle, right? It's 8 years old. It's actually a 2.5 liter engine, which is quite a heavy. You know, it's a lot of fuel goes into that car, right? You see the petrol price. You see what's going on in the country. And my heart, what I feel is, you know what? I'm going to get a brand new car. Maybe a 1.2 liter turbo. It's going to be less. It's going to be fuel efficient. I can go to Joburg and back one tank. You know, your heart starts telling you all these lovely things about a brand new car. It's a great idea. But if I had to go to Andrew, my wonderful friend, and say, Andy, hey, what do you think about this, Andy? I want to buy a new car. You know what? Hey, the economy, my car is old, you know, depreciation. Andrew would say to me, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. You've got a car, a working car. Everything functions, right? But I'm building in my head, in my heart, that it's a great idea. But financially, in the long run of buying a new vehicle, I would never be able to make up that amount of money. How often are we deceived by our hearts because we felt it was a really great idea and then later on felt the consequences of that? You see, that little toddler has zero consequences. He just goes into the cab and pulls the dish out. If it breaks, he's just like, don't care. We'll just keep pulling it out. But for us as adults, there are huge consequences in the decisions that we make, especially the ones that we feel we're doing it with our heart. So author Andy Stanley, in his book, The Principle of the Path, says this: our problem rarely stems from the lack of information or insight. It's something else, something we don't outgrow, something that another academic degree won't resolve. Our problem stems from the fact that we are not on a truth quest. This is, we don't wake up in the morning with a burning desire to know what's true, what's right, and what's honorable. We are on a happiness quest. We want to be, as in feel, happy. And our quest for happiness often trumps our appreciation for and the pursuit of what is true. How true is that? It's an amazing write-up. Why do we find ourselves on the wrong path? I've got a couple, just a couple of reasons. There's probably so many I could write, but there's a couple. And one is our heart is on a happiness quest, not a truth quest. Number two, our heart chooses to be happy now rather than happy later. Because we just want that feeling for now. We don't want to endure any pain. Because as soon as I feel pain, I take a back step. But it's easy to make happy now. Sell the car quickly. Get a brand new car. Smell that fresh aroma of leather seats. But not understanding later on there's consequences for your action. It goes on in the book like this. It says, as smart as we are and as aware as we are that life is connected and that decisions today shape our experiences for tomorrow, we still don't wake up in the morning in search of truth, insight, and enlightenment. We get up and do the things that only want to make us happy. We are all on a happiness quest. And I don't think that it's necessarily wrong. It's not wrong to be happy. But we've got to understand, as it says further in this book, if you choose to exercise, exercise makes you happy. For those of you who like exercise, exercise makes you happy. I know you are. Don't pick up your hand, Jess. Don't do that. Down. Some people, for exercise makes them happy. But you've got to understand this. If chocolate makes you happy and you pursue chocolate, what might happen to you if you pursue exercise and chocolate? Both happiness, it's a great feeling, but one, if you take that direction of the chocolate for a long period of time, sugar diabetes is your name. And then you are taking medication to correct this action. So you're understanding the consequences of this. So further on in the book, it goes, when happiness points in one direction, while wisdom and truth and integrity and common sense point in another, that's when really smart people start doing really stupid things. I almost said it like I'd say it in the Kali, stupid. You really start doing a stupid thing. Yeah, you know, culturally, the culture wants to come out sometimes. It's just you're stupid. Don't be stupid, man. That's when the happiness quest becomes very, very dangerous. That is the underlying reason we don't intentionally choose paths that will not take us to where we ultimately want to go. It's because we just want to be happy. We only want to satisfy our hearts for now. We're not understanding what might happen in the future. Our series, by the way, is called The Path. It's taken from a book by Andy Stanley. And we're going through the book of Proverbs, the wise man's book, the wisdom book. And Ryan preached an amazing preach, man. Oh, come on. It says, your direction, not your intentions, determine your destination. So many of us have great intentions, but we're not pointing in the right direction. But we want to still reach the destination. Man, we cannot work in our intentions. We got to have purpose. We got to be purposeful. Last week we said and we spoke about prudent people and simple people. It said that the prudent make course corrections even though that requires more energy and determination and pain also. But the simple just keep on going. How often have you asked someone, hey my man, how are you doing? Going, 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 going. Everything's going. How often do we hear that? But we don't understand, as a people, there is a wall in front of us. And I love that preach by Andrew. It was an amazing preach. There's a wall in front of us. If we keep going, we're going to end up hitting the wall. But you know what's the problem with us in our humanness, if that's a word? Is that when we get to the wall, now suddenly there's a problem. But if in my marriage to my wife, 5 years ago, I'm just using it as an example. 5 years ago, I could have made a course correction before hitting that wall. But the simple-minded, we just keep on going. You know what? We're hoping for something that's not happening. Because we are refusing to change the course of our direction. We are refusing to do it. But when we hit the wall, when you're an addict and you hit the wall and I cannot do this anymore. 5 years ago, we go back. You could have said yes and no. Simple question. Do you want this? Yes, no. It was a simple yes and no that got us to where or got you to where the wall is. Us as believers, let us not wait to get to the wall. We can change it right now. You can start this today, wherever you are at now. Don't wait for the long run. Don't wait for the circumstances to come. You can see it in your, you can feel it and you can see it. If you're saying that you cannot see it, that is not true. Because in relationship, when I am close with my wife, there's things that I recognize in her. She's not feeling good. There's something I need to change. Maybe I need to wash more dishes. Because somehow or the other, we know what to do. But what we keep on doing is we keep on going and hoping it would change on its own. It doesn't work that way. And that was just an amazing preach by Andy. This week, it's called Your Heart Matters. So I'm going to read Proverbs 3 from 5 to 12. You can read with me or open your Bibles. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How long and how many times have we heard this word? In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you're clever. That's another thing I grew up with. Hey, don't think you're clever. You think you're sharp? Uh-uh. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring you health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits and of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled, overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. You see, Solomon says that God will make your path straight if you just do three things. The number one thing is trust in the Lord with all your heart. The number two is lean not on your own understanding. And number three, it's acknowledge him in all of your ways. Amen? Oh, the amen's got a bit quiet. All right, I preach by myself. No problem. All right, so it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. In every area, we've got to trust God. It's not just we choosing. Sometimes as believers, we choose, hey, I trust God for this, but not for that. We choose what we believe in. Somehow inside of me this morning, the only way that you can take in what I'm saying this morning is if your heart becomes a heart of flesh. So many of us are coming to meetings every Sunday, week in, week out, hardened hearts. Hearts that don't want to be corrected. Hearts that only want to take offense to everything we say to them. Some hearts that come in, they can't wait to finish the meeting to talk about someone else. Did you see that? Did you see this? I can't believe Grant said that. This morning, we want hearts of flesh, heart that receives the word of God. And when it's received, it transforms the way that you think and the way I think. This is the God that we serve. I'm urged this morning to pray for those hard hearts this morning. And I know sometimes it can be embarrassing to pick up your hand because people are looking at you and saying, how can you say I have a hard heart? I'm going to raise my hand with you. And if you want to raise your hand with people this morning to support them in this decision of changing that heart of rock, would you mind raising your hands with them? Let's support those that don't really want to show what they're going through, but we want to partner with you, that you have this kind of feeling of this hardness in your heart, that we are carrying a trauma from our childhood and it doesn't want to leave us. Father, I pray right now, God, hear our prayers this morning, God. Father, melt our hearts, Lord, for your glory, Jesus.
Take our hearts from being rocks and stone, God, and melt them to flesh, God, that we can receive word, God, that we can move on from this trauma that we've been carrying, God, that we can move on and be who you have called us to be, God. Father, you see our hands, Lord, in support, Lord. You see our hands that, Lord, we are not perfect. And sometimes even my heart can be a bit hardened to something. God, check me first, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, check our hearts. Tell your neighbor, your heart is a liar. Now tell yourself, my heart's a liar. Tell yourself too. Because some people like that. They like going, yeah, yeah, your heart, your heart. But as soon as they say my heart, you whisper, my heart, my heart, my heart. Our hearts are liars. And we will not be deceived by them. This is not a one-time thing when it comes to trusting God along this path. This is an everyday practicing thing. Every day we walk, we're saying, Lord, I trust in you. In my marriage, I trust in you. In my children, I trust in you. That job situation may be feeling a bit bleak this morning, but I trust in you, my God. Number two, the biggest challenge is to lean not on your own understanding. Not on what your heart wants to do. So many times we're doing weird things because we felt it was a good idea. If it's not a God idea, it's not a good idea. We only get good ideas when we ask people questions. Hey, what do you think about this? Do you think I should make this decision? But when we try to do it on our own, I promise you though, I've failed so many times doing it on my own. So many times. How many times have you said, hey, my man, don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. Just do what your heart says. Oh, Nkosiyam. No ways. No ways. In Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It can take us somewhere so far if we keep relying on this happy feeling. Why? We always want this feeling of like this tingly feeling in your hands. I know what it feels to buy something new. It's nice, you know. It feels like something that... is nice. But we want that feeling even in our relationships. We want to have that feeling with our children. When we're supposed to be leading our children, we're being happy feelings with them. People, rise up. Rise up. The heart is deceitful, Solomon says. When you find yourself at a crossroad, don't trust your heart. Trust God this morning. You know that we're in crossroads here. All of us. We can choose left and we can choose right. God wants us to take the path to Him, not to our self-desires. If you do this, He will make your path straight. Jesus said something very similar in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek Him first and all those things will be added. They will be added. Those material things, that good feeling. You think God will not give you a good feeling when you put Him first? My God is a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a loving God. Number three, he says, acknowledge God and His ways, and He will make your path straight. Many of us, we trust God for salvation. We trust God for a lot of things. But have you invited God into your secret place? Have you invited God into those thoughts that you are having that are not of Him? Have you invited God into that computer, into your job? Have you invited God into areas that are hidden, that you are struggling with? Because what happens, we pocket those. We put them aside because we don't want God there. It'll make us feel bad. But when we start to partner and we talk and lash these things out, I promise you those things will lift up and the mighty God will slay them. Because nothing is too difficult for my Father this morning. I got a question for you. What path are you on that you know you shouldn't be, but you chose it anyway? What path is that you are on? Because you wanted something other than to acknowledge God's ways. You know what it is deep down. Where is it that we are not trusting God? Pray that God will reveal something to us with the soft, fleshful heart that you have now, that you have received, that Lord, open it up inside of me first, God. Correct me first. In Proverbs 3 verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to the body and nourishment to your bones. And after telling us the keys to the straight path, he gives us some action steps in that same scripture. And there's three action steps we're going to go through quickly. Number one, don't be wise in your own eyes. Wherever you are today, you've never been there before. Where are you sitting now? Wherever you are right now, you've never been there before. So resist the temptation. Stop thinking that you know it all. Stop thinking that you are too clever for God. Honor God, verse 8, with your wealth, with your first fruits of your crops. Number two, second action step, honor God's provision for you. After all, it came from our Father. Everything in this life has come from God. Sometimes you just think, well, I'm talking speakers. Everything has come from God. Everything is His. Let us give back what is God. You can give, you and I, without loving. But you can't love without giving. Lee and I had a chat this week, and we loved Andy's preach. And we were talking about some course correction that we need to probably do in our finances. And we thought of some good ideas. And just by chatting that out this weekend, I'm like, oh, hey, love, that's so good. Just chatting that, hey, I struggle there. No, just having conversation. I urge you, have conversation with your husbands and wives. It's an amazing thing when we start to chat about things that we feel, even though you don't want to chat about it. But it's a great start. And while we're chatting with this, that same week, a friend of mine who's here, Ryan Saunders, we've been friends for over 25 years. You can't miss him. He's wearing a big orange sweater. And he's the one that we always talk about in my preachers. The Three Musketeers, he's one of them, right? And we were talking about Pastor Barnwell, who was our teacher, our school teacher in Fairvale. And he has a church. And we were discussing him in the week, just chatting about him, what a great guy he is. Man, on Friday, I think that was in the Tuesday or Wednesday. On Friday, I see Pastor Barnwell at Spa. And Lee tapped me. Hey, Barnwell. I said, hey, Barnwell. I went, hey, Barnwell. Because she doesn't know who I was speaking of. And then I see him. I love how God speaks. And then I said, hey, Lord, I need to talk to that guy. I just want to say hello to him. We end up saying hello to him, and we're just chatting to him. And I told him, I said, hey, you know what? We were discussing you. The Three Musketeers, we were discussing you, and we're just chatting about who you are and what a lovely guy you are. He said, man, that is awesome. And then as we're chatting, I said, hey, go forward. It's your turn. And he goes forward. Then he goes, hey, you know what, guys? Hey, go on through, man. I'll pay for your groceries. I was like, hallelujah. How long have I been praying for someone to pay for my groceries? It's only happening now, Lord. After all this time, oh my gosh. Every time, you know what happens? When you're going through stuff financially, we always got the solution for God. Hey, God, you know what would be nice if I walked into Spa and someone pays for my groceries? That would be nice, Lord. That will show how much you love me. Oh. We're giving ultimatums to God. God will say, in my time, I will bless you. And then I'm just parking with someone that I know, and he goes, hey, you know what? Let me bless you guys. I'm saying, hey, you know, and the angels, it was amazing. I said, this is what it feels like. It's incredible. Man, I just love when God speaks, man. I mean, there's also one thing to note. There's a tithe challenge that's coming very, very soon. Test God with your finances, people. When we begin to test God, I believe God's going to move in our finances. In Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in it and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, woo-hoo, that there will be no room enough to store it. Hallelujah. In verse 11, it says, my son, my son, my son, do not despise
the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Number three, and that's my last action, don't blame God for your pain. Sometimes we are the ones that have caused that pain, and we don't want to be corrected. Sometimes God even knows that we need correction. How many times have you heard people saying things like, why did it happen to me? Why must it happen to me? But we have been the problem all along, because instead of choosing God, we're choosing selfish desire. And now we're facing the consequences of our actions. God, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we make decisions, Lord. Let us not allow ourselves to blame God for our pain. And in closing this morning, while you stand up with me, I like to do this simply. As God is now speaking to you with hearts that are willing to receive it, there's just four of your next steps. What are you going to do from now? What is going to happen today? Not Friday next year. What is going to stand? What is going to change right now in you? Are we still going to go around doing things that our hearts desire? Are we going to run businesses by bribing people? Are we going to be doing dishonest things? Are we going to follow what our hearts want to do? Are we going to be deceived this morning? We are no longer going to do things as the world does. We're going to do it as God has called us to. Number one, keep coming back to community. Keep coming back. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If you are convicted this morning, hallelujah, praise God. We can change right now. There's no condemnation when we make mistakes, but keep coming back to community. If you're here for the very first time and this is not your community and you plugged in someone, go back and serve well. Number two, read the Word of God. Simple practice. Practical things, simple, read every day, equip yourself. God will teach you. It gets so interesting as you read. This reading plan that we're on now, it's amazing. You've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we've read it all, right? But when we're reading it now, it's like these other things are coming up. I'm like, wow, wow, Lord, oh my word. Because the Word of God is refreshing all the time. Number three, join a life group. You guys got little cards this morning. Join a life group. Sign up Sunday, the 2nd of August. Come on, get going to an uncomfortable place and speak out aloud and see what God can do. Miracles happen through Deidre in our life group. Couldn't pay 50,000 for a UK trip for her son. 50K. She doesn't work. Man, every deadline there was money. Every deadline there was money. Money for visas, there was money for that visa. There was even gave them spending money. Hallelujah. My God, he will never forsake me. Amen. Number four, talk to someone. Talk to someone this morning. You cannot do this life alone. It can't be your Bible, your tree, and your YouTube channel. It doesn't work that way. We got to have a personal relationship. We got to come. We got to talk to someone. Amen. Share what we're going through every single day. So with hands raised up this morning, Father, I believe in my heart that things are changing in the atmosphere. There's decisions this morning being made for your glory and without any selfish desire. God, put us on a course direction right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Direct us, Lord. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your heart this morning. Amen.